Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for staying tuned with us today. We're talking about strength on our knees, prayer, praying. God works through prayer. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps is a Bible college and theology professor in the Conservative Theological University. He's written a book entitled God Works Through Prayer. We're talking about the biblical concept of prayer, the priority of prayer, and the, if you please, the process, procedure, and the power of prayer. And we've been talking about his book. And let me remind you again, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Each of our callers today, if you call in asking a question, dialogue and discussion, perhaps a unique prayer experience that you have had, and you're finding the answer to prayer through coming to God through his word, perhaps you'd like to call and share that with us or ask a question. Each one that calls today, we're going to send you free and postage paid. We'll pay the postage on, we'll pay the shipping. God Works Through Prayer, the book by Dr. Neil Phelps. I'll leave your contact and shipping information with Roger as the phone is answered as you call in. You can dial 831-0917. 831-0917. Love to make this book available for you. I believe that it is so vital that it needs to be in the hands of every listener today. We'll be delighted to ship that to you at our earliest convenience time. We get the information from you. It'll go out the first of next week. And so let me encourage you to call today. Let's have the dialogue and discussion about prayer. Dr. Phelps, I believe we need to pray for our president, pray for protection. I believe we need to pray for provision for us in our families and homes. I'm reminded of Luke 18, the latter portion of the chapter where Jesus gives an illustration to the woman that keeps going back to the judge. And the judge says that he's going to respond to her because she keeps aggravating him. That's the Youngblood vernacular on that. But the publican goes to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee goes to the temple and pray. And the publican, the Pharisee prays, and as he prays, he basically pats himself on the chest, Dr. Phelps. In fact, he, as the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, or extortioners, or unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the scripture is very clear. And Jesus says, I tell you that this man went down in the house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Dr. Phelps, how does that relate to prayer and what we should do and how we should pray?
One of the things I learned from that passage is that Jesus is trying to say that we need to humble ourselves and pray.
Exactly.
Most people do not pray because they're not willing to humble themselves.
Yes, it's a matter of many times it is like Jesus talked about in other texts to the Pharisees. They praying in public and they want the public accolades and praise. And many times that's the case. But I believe Dr. Phelps' real power before God and power with men is in prayer, Christian prayer, praying before the Lord. Dr. Phelps, when it comes to praying, should we, and I know there's several things we'll talk about today about prayer, should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? And what does the Bible say about that? And why should we pray? I know a lot of people, many people, on a number of occasions I've talked with, never have heard that we'd pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Dr. Phelps? What does it mean when it says that? And why should we pray that kind of prayer before the Lord?
We should pray that kind of prayer because the Lord has told us to do that.
Yes.
And we find that in the scriptures, in Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. So I believe that is a command in the Bible. And so why don't we do that right now? Heavenly Father, we know that the nation of Israel is the apple of your eye, and Jerusalem is where you intend to dwell with your people during the kingdom. For you've told us in your word, in the scriptures, by Ezekiel, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them evermore. We anticipate the fulfillment of your promises to establish the peace of Jerusalem and to restore the people of Israel to the promised land. You also said by Isaiah, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we have hope for the soon coming of Israel's Prince of Peace when Jesus comes again. We thank you and praise you, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen. Thank you for that, Dr. Phelps. I believe that is honorable, and I believe that's the way it should be. You see, Dr. Phelps, I believe that most as Christians will pray for things. And yet in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 19 and following, it talks about the things that we have need of, food, clothing, and shelter. And there are a lot of folks that are anxious over food, clothing, and shelter, anxious over having their needs met. And it is very, very clear in that 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 19 through verse 33, that God already knows we have the need for food, clothing, and shelter. And he says, but seek ye first, priority, number one, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things, that's food, clothing, and shelter, shall be added unto us. And so I believe that we need to recognize that we need to pray according to the scripture. Dr. Phelps, what do you say to that person that says, well, the scripture says, ask anything and it shall be given unto you? And I've talked with the people down through the years that got disappointed with God, out of favor with God, from the standpoint that they disbelieved the word of God because they had prayed for something that didn't happen. They didn't get it. It didn't come to fruition. And as a result of that, they were angry with God. And perhaps you've heard me, Dr. Phelps, give the illustration. Dear lady that I've known for several years, never will forget having her share with me. We're in the hospital room visiting, and she talked about her daughter that had passed away a few months before that, and she was angry with God. She said, I prayed for God to heal her, to preserve her. The daughter, I believe, was 30 years old. She had prayed for a daughter, prayed that God would heal her, prayed that God would deliver her from that illness and give her life, and her daughter died. And she said, God had told me, and I don't know how she heard it, but God had told me that he had heard my prayer and that my daughter was going to live. And she said, he did not do what he promised me, therefore I'll never go to church again, I'll never pray again, I'll never read the Bible again, I'll never trust God again, I'll never believe him again, because my daughter died. So, Dr. Phelps, I believe it's important for some of our listeners to hear and understand that just because we pray and ask something, and because the scripture says, ask anything and it shall be given, doesn't mean that just anything that we say or ask that God is obligated to do it. Explain that to our listeners.
I'm not sure that I can give a complete explanation about the ways of God, especially in that sense that you have spoken. But we believe that God has a purpose and plan, and when we pray, we should ask, just like Jesus did, not my will, but thine be done.
Right.
Many times, God does not answer a prayer because it's not what his will would be. But we should ask in Jesus' name for God's will to be done. There's a passage in 1 John in chapter 5, and verses 13 and 14, where Jesus tells us that we can pray and ask. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so it says to ask in confidence. And according, it means according to the Word of God and according to His will. So we can ask. Sometimes it may not be in the will of God.
That's the key to it. In fact, as you quote that verse, according to His will, that little word according is the Greek word kata, K-A-T-A, means based upon His will, based upon His will, His word. Many times a person says, well, I've asked God to give me a new car, and He didn't. Well, is it God's will for you to have a new car? Now, we'll forget a number of years ago, a young couple in our church, Dr. Phelps, they were praying for a baby. They wanted to have a child. They'd been married several years and had not had a child. They wanted to have a child. And they, on prayer meeting nights, every Wednesday in prayer service, they would say to the congregation and to the pastor, Pastor, pray that God will give us a child. Pray that God will let us have a child. And so the whole congregation was praying for that couple to have a child. Several months had gone by. And then the good news, they were going to have a child. They were faithful in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. God gave them the answer to their prayer. God gave them a child. And from that point forward, Dr. Phelps, I believe we saw him in church one time. You'd call and they'd say, well, the baby was sick. Some other times you'd go visit, and they said, well, we couldn't come because having to take care of the baby. Or this happened, that. It was always the excuse for not being in church, Dr. Phelps, was that this child, the very thing they'd prayed that God would give them, then became the excuse for not being in church, for not serving God, for not being in prayer meeting. And the last count I had of them, they had moved out of the city. She was involved in a major, major company and was traveling across the nation. Neither of them, the last count I had of them, neither of them involved in church and service to the Lord. Many times we'll pray and ask for something, and then God will grant it. That becomes the stumbling block or the excuse for us not serving the Lord. That's heartbreaking. That is disconcerting for a Christian to use God's blessing as an excuse then not to serve Him and to be in His services. Dr. Phelps, should we pray for elected leaders?
I believe the Bible teaches us that we should. In order to be an obedient Christian, 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us that we should do that. So I'm going to turn to 1 Timothy, that second chapter, and read for us a couple of verses. The Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration, and these words that he wrote are instructions for every Christian today. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. So let's pray as God has instructed us. Let's pray about and for our elected leaders. Heavenly Father, we seek your guidance for our president. May he allow you to help him in all things pertaining to our country. Lord, we pray that our president, his wife, and family might be saved, that they might be safe, and that they might be successful. We desire that our president, as head of our nation, might be supported with wise counsel, men and women of integrity who you place there and who would place your agenda and the good of our nation above our own motives and ambitions and serve to do what is right. We also pray for our president, vice president, and for those who serve in Congress, in our state legislature, in our city council, that they'll realize that they are elected to serve as our representatives in public office. May they serve with integrity, honesty, and the fear of God. Thank you. We pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I find it fascinating in that verse, in that text, because it says there, for kings and for all of those that are in authority, and then it makes a statement, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And the connotation there in the text, Dr. Phelps, is that if we do not pray for the political leaders over us. We will not have a quiet and peaceable life in this nation and the world in which we're living in. Dr. Phelps, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes. Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Thank God for what you're doing. Bless the Lord. You're dealing with the most powerful subject today, I believe, with all
Absolutely.
My heart.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes.
Praise God. I like the concept that prayer is a wonderful gift, wonderful privilege that we have from God. Bless the Lord. And also, I believe that prayer is one of our greatest expression, or probably our greatest expression of faith in God. When the word says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I believe with all my heart that prayer is one of the greatest things we can be doing in these days. I like the concept, the idea to that, that while we pray, when we pray, God work. When we work, when we pray, God work. Yes, he works through the prayer of his people. And as never before, we really need him. So we thank God that we can come to him and pray. And we realize, as you outlined, the time, different times when in answer to prayer, we had God spared us, God intervened. We have the picture of him dealing with Israel when they repented and call out to him, cry out to him in prayer. He answered right along. He's a God who's faithful, and all who we know that he answers every prayer, answers it in different ways. If the prayer is not a valid prayer, until we learn to pray, he says, pray in the name of Jesus. And I believe that we give place to the devil in our culture, especially when the things like prayer was taken out of our public institutions, and the church kept silent, kept quiet, and allowed that, you know, not doing it. As you say, you had to stand up when they tried to put the well closed down and give place on Sundays for what football or whatever. You stood out for what you know is right with God. I believe that the church has really give place, allowed the devil to have his way to come in when we because of lack of prayer. Even today, the multitude sitting in the churches they're not really praying. We're not praying. May God help us to realize it.
Yes.
He said, what if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll send healing. And we need that healing so badly. May God really help us to wake up as a church, wake up and start storming the throne of grace.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that call and for your input. That is absolutely correct. One of the things we need to recognize is that we need to go before God in prayer, asking him, seeking his face, asking him to heal our land, asking him to forgive us of our sin. One of the major problems, Dr. Phelps, that I find so often among Christians is the lack of prayer. Perhaps I have said this before, and may I say it at the risk of redundancy. According to the Barna report of a number of years ago, and it may be less than that today, George Barna says in the Barna report, his research on what is called religion in America, he says the average Christian prays an average of less than 3 minutes a day. Less than 3 minutes a day. Most people today spend far more time than that on their handheld devices, iPhones, iPads, et cetera, than in praying. And the power comes through prayer. It is through prayer. In fact, the scripture says in Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but heareth the prayer of the righteous. In 1 Peter 3:12, the scripture says, the Lord's ears are open to our prayers. I am thankful for this privilege and opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to tell you once again, we're talking with Dr. Phelps, Dr. Neil Phelps, a professor in Conservative Theological University teaching Bible. In fact, in the fall, he's teaching this semester, he's teaching the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. But a book that he's written is God Works Through Prayer. Ask Anything in My Name is the subtitle on the book. And Dr. Phelps is with us today on this broadcast talking about prayer, the power of prayer, the need for prayer. Dr. Phelps, not only should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, not only should we pray for our political leaders, but should we pray for America? And if we should pray for America, what should we pray? How should we pray? What should be our prayer request before God as we pray for our nation, for America?
One of the things I believe we need to pray for is not only for our elected officials, but those who are sometimes appointed, or those who are judges in our courts. Scriptures tell us in Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7, "For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one, sets up another." And that passage and others like them let me know that all of these people who are in a place of authority will one day have to give an account to the judge of the world, judge
That's right.
of the universe.
Supreme Court of the universe.
Yes. So let's pray for our judges at this time. Heavenly Father, our Supreme Court, our superior courts, and lower court judges make decisions that affect all of the citizens of the United States. As they make decisions, we pray that they realize that they're responsible to have you, the sovereign judge of the universe, in mind. May they be reminded that they are to make decisions that are in accord with the U.S. Constitution. Please raise up people who are patriotic, that is, who support our form of government as specified in our Constitution. We need judges who know American history and affirm our constitutional republic. We know that you established government to protect the citizens and to secure our rights. Please oversee the process of selecting court judges who will serve in the future in integrity. Thank you. We pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Phelps, I find in the scripture that, and perhaps our listeners are aware of it, it's recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, where Peter and other disciples had been out on the street corners preaching, and they were admonished not to preach publicly. And, of course, I could go in a different direction. There are a lot of those that are being barred from preaching and teaching the Word of God publicly today because of political correctness in our society. But in this case, Peter was just simply thrown in prison. He was thrown in prison for praying. And as he was thrown in prison, according to Acts chapter 12, verse 5, the scripture says that the people, they made prayer without ceasing. And God heard their prayer and released Peter from the prison. I believe that we are crippled so often in ministry work and in what we do as Christians in having what we would call revival in our nation because we fail to pray. And in that same text, Dr. Phelps, I'm reminded that when Peter was released and came to the door, though they had been praying, they did not expect his release. When he knocked on the door, they thought it's a ghost there at the door. It's not really Peter. It's got to be a ghost. I think many times that tells me that we pray in sincerity before God, but in reality, not believing that God will do what we're asking him to do. Tell us about that and talk with us about the need to pray in faith and believing. And when I say pray in faith and believing, it's not a matter of God is the water boy, or God is the puppet that we're to demand God. Never will forget Dr. Phelps, a man on television a number of years ago, a preacher, said, "Whenever I have need in my bank account, I just hold my checkbook heavenward and pray and demand that God fill my bank account." And I find that antithetical to the scripture. How do you respond to that, Dr. Phelps? What should we do in view of what the people found in praying for Peter and he was released? Is it possible have that kind of prayer life today? I know, who was it? One of the pastors at First Baptist Church in Dallas, pastor there for some 52 years, I think it was, and they would have tours from across America. People go there to tour First Baptist Church in Dallas, and he would always tell them, "Let me show you my power plant. Let me show you the power plant," and he would lead the tour group down into the basement, And at any service, while the preaching was taking place, there was between 200 and 500 people on their knees in the basement praying. And George W. Truett, he said, this is the power plant. This is what runs the church. This is the power of this church. And I believe that's what we're missing, Dr. Phelps, in ministry, in our churches, and in Christian lives today. Talk with us some more about the need for prayer and about your book on prayer.
One of the things I've learned by experience is that the prayerless church is a church without power. It's a weak church. And same thing would be true of an individual.
Yes.
But many years ago, they used to have prayer vigils in churches.
Yes.
And one of the things I practiced and led the men to do in Indiana when we lived there was to lead the men of that church to pray every Sunday morning before the pastor came out to preach. We would have anywhere from 10 to 15 men to join with us, and we would pray for the church service. And God blessed that in a Amen. Miraculous way. And that church grew from about 250 to approximately 500 in membership. This was happening in the first church, in the first century. Peter was thrown in prison, and prayer was made for him by the church then during the night. And in the middle of the night, God answered by sending an angel of the Lord and freeing him from the bounds or the bonds that he had and from prison, and he simply just walked out of the prison. God gave him victory because he had something for him to do.
Dr. Phelps, in our closing, had a message that he needed to preach. I'm sorry to interrupt in that. We got about 1 minute to go. In that closing time, Dr. Phelps, in this broadcast today, we need to pray for our nation and especially for our churches. Would you take a minute and pray for our churches before we close our broadcast today?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the time which we live is an age of violence, much like that of Noah's day. And the threat of violence is very real when we assemble to worship on the Lord's day. We pray for those in leadership of local churches that they'll prepare for possible attacks upon the members. May they be careful in their planning to be alert, prepared for danger. May our churches be led to be in the conscience of our nation, and may Christians learn to be salt and light in a dark and sinful world.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.